Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of the, I guess that's why they call it, the Elton John podcast. Today, it's one of those landmark moments. It's 50 years to the day since Elton released I've Been Loving You, his debut single, on Philips Records. And this episode is going to celebrate that very special moment in time when 20-year-old Elton got his new name on a 7-inch for the first time. You can be sure that he studied that dark blue label very hard. Surely a great place to start is to listen through the whole song in its reissued form from Rare Masters, apparently recorded in December 1967 and released on March the 1st, 1968. Here's the greatest performance on a first disc, as it said on the press ad. Here's I've Been Loving You. Caleb Quay, who produced the song, says that it came from the pressure to be commercial from Dick James, and it was not typical of the work that Elton was doing in the late night sessions. Bernie says, in the Rare Masters box set, Elton wrote everything on that single. Up to that point, all the stuff we'd been writing was pretty esoteric, and we were sort of forced by Dick James into recording something much more mainstream and standard. At that particular time, the artists in vogue were people like Engelbert Humperdinck and Tom Jones, and so James thought that Elton should record something similar. That's why I've Been Loving You is that sort of big ballad, very corny, almost a sort of cabaret-ish kind of ballad, which is nothing I could possibly write. We were so hungry to be popular that we would take any chance. So Elton wrote these two things, but he felt guilty. And because we'd been working so much together, he felt I deserved credit. I'm inclined to agree with Bernie. This isn't a very strong piece of music, it's very middle of the road. Musically very readable from the outset. The lyrics are a real problem, with the poorest lyric, "I couldn't bear to see you go, oh no, 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 no," unfortunately coming at the most ear-catching moment of the music, outside of the main chorus hook. The arrangement, presumably by Zach Lawrence, although there's nothing to mark him on the record or elsewhere, it's a strong arrangement and it's supportive, but it does wash the rest of the instruments out in the chorus. I do like elements of the arrangement and of Caleb's production, though. For example, in the post-chorus and in the beginning of the second verse, there's enough space for the listener to focus on the drumming, the acoustic guitar, and Elton's thin, reedy vocal. You can almost imagine for a moment that he would turn into the artist that would sing and write those songs from Empty Sky. In the verses, there's a distinctive Elton John signature move, the chords changing over a steadfast, unchanging bass note. Other than this, there isn't much of a sign of the songwriting magic that we would hear in the years to come, except this. Sorry about that. Anyway, there aren't any reviews of the song to be found these days in the Captain Fantastic Scraps book. There's just one little bit of press from Top Pops magazine, dated March the 2nd. The article's headline, "Problem, Who's the Star?" And it goes on to say, another puzzler. This is Elton John, whose record is called "I've Been Loving You" on Philips. But the publicity gives equal credit to the writer, Bernard Taupin, and the producer, Caleb Quay, all experienced and highly competent pop men. Come to think of it, it's about time the men behind the discs had more credit, so good for Bernard and Caleb, as well as Elton. The song made no impression, despite those ads in the music press championing Elton, and it was quickly withdrawn. Almost as quickly, it was covered by a chap called Edwin B., and released on the 24th of May 1968, making it almost definitely the first released cover of an Elton John composition. Here it is.
I didn't mean to hurt you. You know it's just my way. Those things that I said yesterday were things I shouldn't say. Although you're blue, just one thing I want you to do. Just forget all those things that I said about you.
Edwin B. has a great name and a pretty great voice, but still the arrangement doesn't really elevate the song. Incidentally, that version was arranged by Roy Tempest, who was Bluesology's agent, so that's the likely link that brought Edwin B. and the song together. The record just went for around £26 on eBay, I know, because I bid £25.50. While we're speaking values, Elton's debut barely ever comes up these days, but when it does, it goes for silly money. It was £132 the last time it sold, but that was 2015. It would surely be quite a bit more today. There's also a very exciting Portugal-only picture sleeve version of the single with two extra tracks, making it into an EP. Those two extra tracks being almost impossibly Angel Tree and Thank You For Your Loving. This would make a good gift for me. The last one sold at £708, and there's one currently up for sale at £885, plus £4 shipping. As Bernie said in his liner notes, he can't take any of the credit for I've Been Loving You, despite the Who's the Star coverage and what it says on the label. As generic as they are, Elton's lyrics from this period are quite distinctive. Other songs where it seems to be pretty obvious that he didn't get any help include I Love You and That's All That Matters, When the First Tear Shows, There Is Still a Little Love, and probably even I Can't Go On Living Without You. The B-side of this song, Here's to the Next Time, was definitely just him. It's credited to him solo. This leads me on to a very special thing. Another seemingly solo bit of songwriting from Elton. Just like Here's to the Next Time, this is a song that was published in those pre-DJM contract days by Growlto. As far as I can tell, it doesn't circulate in the normal bootlegs that do the rounds. It's called I Couldn't Fall in Love with Anyone Else.
People often say to me, why do you go with her? She's not the sort of girl we thought you'd choose. Well, frankly, I just don't know why myself. I must admit that she's a girl you wouldn't like to lose. And I couldn't fall in love with anybody else. I couldn't fall in love with anybody else. Look into her face and you'll see she's rather plain. I think that's unanimously agreed. Her hair is long, her nose is long, but even though they are, she means all the world to me. And I couldn't fall in love with anybody else. With anybody else. She isn't everything a girl should be, but find me one that is. She isn't everything a girl should be, but find me one that is. People often say to me, why do you go with her? She's not the sort of girl we thought you'd choose. Well, frankly, I just don't know why myself. I must admit that she's a girl you wouldn't like to lose. And I couldn't fall in love with anybody else. I couldn't fall in love with anybody else.
I couldn't let the first 50th anniversary show pass without finding a real treat for you, could I? And there's one more surprise to come at the end of the show as well. Anyway, those titles, I Can't Go On Living Without You, I Love You and That's All That Matters, I Couldn't Fall In Love With Anyone Else, they're all so long. And the chorus is just the title, not much else, there's no story in the songs, just desperate devotion. Simplistic emotion. You can see what Bernie brought to the table, although as we discovered in the previous episode, it took him a while to focus his efforts. Anyway, I thought it would be nice to set the stage for Elton's debut in a bit more detail. To do this, I've set the itinerary for a little musical jaunt through some of the highlights of the Philips single catalogue from mid-67 through to mid-68. The first song to stand out in the listings to me, outside of all of the excellent-looking Dusty Springfield and Walker Brothers songs, is release BF 1554 by The Mirage. The A-side was called Hold On. Let's flip it though to listen to the B-side, Can You Hear Me, written by a certain D. Murray.
Really want you. You're the one I need to be beside. If you go, you know you'll hurt my pride.
This is the only D. Murray solo composition for The Mirage, although he has a few other shared credits. At this time, there was no DJM Records, and artists who had a publishing relationship with Dick James, like The Mirage, generally released their material through Philips. This means that there are Elton John connections all over this release list. Skip forward a dozen releases to BF1566, and here is a recording artist named Nicky James. Nicky and Ray Williams were the team that helped Elton and Bernie get signed to DJM in 1967. Nicky also wrote songs with Elton during the second half of 1967, like this one. Trying to pick apart the Nicky James, Ray Williams, Kirk Duncan, Dick James contractual mess is a nightmare. None of the timelines make any sense to me. A lot of different types of contracts were signed, publishing, management, as well as recording, and certainly some of them do seem to clash, and you can understand why people remain upset. Suffice to say, your best bet is to buy the Keith Haywood book if you want to get anywhere near the bottom of it all. I personally would rather not bother and just turn back to the music. Here, then, is Nicky James, no longer with us, sadly, with I Need to Be Needed.
Where do you go when it's over? Where do you hide from the day? Who do you turn to when she leaves you? And time slipping away. She leaves you
if anything can lay claim to having the UK version of the Wall of Sound sound, then it's this awesome song. It was produced by Scott Walker, according to a Scott Walker biography by a chap called Paul Woods, although he's not credited on the record. And it was written by Kirk Duncan with Nicky James under his alias of G. Weston. Paul Woods calls this song unexceptional. I beg to differ. Skip forward five releases to BF 1571. And here again is The Mirage with The Wedding of Ramona Blair, which I featured in the D. Murray Lovin'. BF 1580 is the UK release of Frankie Valli's original version of Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. It wouldn't be a hit over here until Andy Williams covered it. And BF 1588 is an artist called simply Caleb. Caleb Quay, of course, on guitar, vocals, arrangement and production, pushing his finger all over the tape of this song to get that phasing effect. It's a UK psych pop masterpiece. That's how it's habitually referred to. It's also known as Baby Your Phrasing Is Bad. Undoubtedly, there'll be more about this in a future episode. One thing that I can tell you is that no one has any clue as to whether or not Elton John was involved in the recording of this song, least of all Caleb himself. BF 1593 is John Walker of the Walker Brothers, so John Mouse, singing the song Annabella, written by Nicky James, Graham Nash of the Hollies and Kirk Duncan.
Annabella, he's running after you again. Through the rain. Oh, Annabella, he'd like to come and walk with you. He'd like to come and talk to you. He'd love to take my place by your side. Wouldn't it be nice for him if he should win?
Hold on, baby, don't let go. Hold on, baby, don't let go.
He's the sort of man who can be cruel without a word. He's the kind of guy who'll try.
So, as you can hear, this isn't the song Annabella Umbrella, which you can find horribly sped up on Dick James Demos Volume 3. That was a much later publisher demo that Elton did of a song that was composed by Valerie Avon and Harold Spiro. And that song was eventually recorded by Cliff Richard and released as the B-side of his song Silvery Rain in 1971. John Walker's Annabella, the one that I'm ruining by talking all over, is a much better piece of music. It got into the charts as well, topping out at number 24. Let's move on though, past a bunch of Jerry Lee Lewis singles, past Madeline Bell, past Jackie, backed with The Plague by Scott Walker, and into 1968. BF 1635 was Would You Believe? By Nicky James. Here, though, is the B-side, Silver Butterfly, written by Nicky, along with a certain Caleb Quay.
Yesterday I saw a silver butterfly flying. First one of its kind, I've never seen one like him before. From flower to flower he flew by my way. Silver butterfly, and follow me. Yesterday I heard a silver butterfly singing, dancing on the flower tops and sailing on.
We're getting close now. BF1636 was Do You Believe in Magic? Written and recorded by a little chap called Kaplan Kay, a Watford lad who was a child actor. He was 18 when this single came out, and later on he signed to DJM, but he never had a hit. Up next was BF1637, Paul Moriat's Love is Blue. This was a massive instrumental hit in the USA, number one for 5 weeks. It only reached number 12 in the UK, and it surely soaked up a lot of time and attention in the Philips promotions office. And who knows, maybe Elton heard that harpsichord and stored the idea away for future use. BF1638 was a rather average tune by Kobe and the Blizzards, a Dutch blues band. BF1639 was White Ship by the American psychedelic band H.P. Lovecraft. BF1640 was Cinderella Rockefeller by Esther and Abby Offerim. Here they are doing it live on French TV. Imagine that this was another tune that kept the executives at Philips busy during this period. 3 long weeks it would spend at number one in the UK. As I said at the beginning of the show, Elton's debut didn't bother the charts at all. Other songs at the top of the charts during this period were The Legend of Xanadu by Dave D. Dozy Beaky Mick and Titch, The Mighty Quinn by Manfred Mann, and Fire Brigade by The Move. Earlier on in 1968, not on Philips, but on another DJM-associated label, Page One Records, the song Everything I Am by Plastic Penny had topped out at number 6 in the charts, and it was still hanging on in the top 40 when Elton's song was released. Just for you. Plastic Penny were formed around singer Brian Keith by Dick James and Lionel Conway, who worked with him specifically for this song that they'd found. He already worked with Tony Murray, who would go on to join the Troggs, and Paul Raymond, who would join UFO. And then they picked up a couple of other musicians, namely a 16-year-old drummer called Nigel Olsen and his fellow Northeasterner Mick Grabham, who of course went on to join Procol Harum. They got that band together just in time to perform the song on Top of the Pops and to take it on tour. The song itself doesn't have anything in common with the psych pop music that Plastic Penny would end up putting out on their later records. It's a middle of the road type ballad. It does prove that a bit of schlock could still be accepted by the record buying public of 1968. BF 1641 was Once I Had a Dream by John Britton. I can't find a recording of that actual release, so you have to make do with this cover by a Brazilian singer called Bubby. By the most prolific pair of songwriting Rodgers in the entire world, Rodgers, Cook and Greenaway. They wrote Something's Gotten Hold of My Heart, among countless other classics. It was their patronage, as 1968 went on, that probably helped Elton to maintain some kind of belief in himself, as a songwriter at least, when things were looking pretty dark. Of course, later on in the year, Roger Cook covered Skyline Pigeon. BF 1642 doesn't exist. There are a few blanked out catalogue numbers like this. Presumably a release was planned but pulled. And then the next release that actually happened was the reason this show exists. BF 1643, I've Been Loving You, backed with Here's to the Next Time. Let's have a listen to that B-side then, in full. Here's to the next time.
Like I said, baby, if you go astray, yeah, well then, go on, go your own sweet way. When
I vastly prefer this song to its A-side. It's a fairly simple, slow waltz, bluesy tune with a lovely open arrangement. The horns are catchy and they don't intrude. The piano's got some good, almost Elton-y moments, and the bass sounds really solid in there. Dee Murray, maybe? The drums are extremely cool. This is where I can feel Caleb's hand at work. I love the reverb on the hi-hat in the first bit of the bridge, and the end of the bridge is inspired in terms of the writing. It throws you off by sliding in an unexpected bit of drama just when you think you know what's coming next. And then you can top it all off with Elton's giant note towards the end, a chest voice B flat, just a tone below the tenor top C, the note that would end up being owned in the public consciousness, at least by Luciano Pavarotti. Lyrically, it's also slightly better than the other efforts from Elton. Once again, it's a relationship song where the protagonist seems to have little or no self-respect, but at least this time we've got a fairly catchy lyrical hook. Just to carry on with the rundown of releases on Philips for the moment, because the Elton connections don't stop there, skip forward six releases, and BF 1649 was a tune that was released by an act with just one single to their name. They're called Elliot Sunshine. Both sides were arranged by DJM fixture Zach Lawrence, and the B-side was a song called 'Cause I'm Lonely, written by Caleb Quay. A very different type of song from Caleb.
Will you hold my hand? I'm feeling lonely. Tell me you wouldn't be too shy to show me the way into your heart.
And finally, in this little musical safari of the Philips label, flipping the release calendar to July of 1968, brings something very special. BF 1691 is a band called Duke's Noblemen, who came second in the 1968 version of Pop Idol Opportunity Knocks, with their single, their only single mind, City of Windows, backed with Thank You for Your Loving. Of course, this is the same song as the one on episode 3 on Elton's scrapped debut album. It was written by Elton with Caleb, and this recording actually uses the same backing track. You can tell from the slightly messed up drums after the final chorus. That means we can hear Elton's piano, Caleb's guitar and production, and probably the rhythm section is Dave Hines and Dee Murray. And we can hear them in somewhat improved fidelity. Maybe this recording belongs in a cover show, but since I mentioned it, surely it can't hurt to play it here. It's so great to hear one of those early Caleb Elton recordings in some level of fidelity. It's a much more pleasing listen this way. You can pick me up a copy for £79 on Discogs if you fancy. Speaking of songs that make for a much more pleasing listen, it's time to change tack and to have a listen to the standout cover versions of the song that this show exists to celebrate. Released in 1969 in the USA, this is Jack Bedient and the Chessmen and their version of I've Been Loving You. To Elton John YouTube uploader extraordinaire, Richard Vollin, Jack Bedient and the Chessmen were a popular frat rock pop band based in and around California, Nevada and the Pacific Northwest in the 1960s. Vollin notes, and I agree, that this is probably how Bluesology would have tackled the song if they'd have had the chance with it. It's a plastic soul treatment, punchy and very current for the time. It kicks Caleb and Elton's ultra saccharine arrangement out of the ground. This was a B-side. Interestingly, the flip side was composed by Zach Lawrence. Puzzling how that came to be from one side of the Atlantic to the other. I don't think this was actually released either. Only promos seem to exist. The arranger, Ernie Freeman, had arranged material for a favourite of Elton's, Jimmy Witherspoon, as well as Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. This wasn't the only cover of this song. Indeed, in Canada, in 1976, a band called Wednesday took the song, covered it, called it Loving You Baby, and deposited it at number 6 in the Canadian charts. Here's their version. Okay, you can have too much of a good thing, and so I think that's me done now with the covers of I've Been Loving You. I did promise one final surprise, and so here it is. A piano demo by Elton from 1967 of Here's to the Next Time. And so, here's to the next time.
have you gone before? And how many times have I forgiven you once more? You never had to wait, just like I've waited for you, and is due the next time. Here's to the next time. When you're gone, the time drags by. I wish you'd learn not to make.
Is to the next time.